Have you ever felt like you don't quite fit in? 12-year-old Percy Jackson knows this feeling all too well. Diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia, expelled from 6 schools in 6 years, and labeled a troubled kid, Percy's life seems destined for disappointment. But everything changes during a field trip to the Metropolitan Museum of Art when his pre-algebra teacher transforms into a leathery-winged monster and attacks him. Armed with a pen that becomes a bronze sword, Percy somehow defeats the creature, only to find everyone acting as if his teacher never existed. Is he losing his mind? The strange incidents multiply. 3 elderly women cutting yarn with golden shears on a bus ride, his friend Grover suddenly appearing with goat legs instead of human ones, and a terrifying encounter with the Minotaur that leaves his mother dissolved into golden light. In one blood-soaked night, Percy's world shatters, and he collapses at the entrance to a place called Camp Half-Blood, a sanctuary that will reveal the extraordinary truth about who he really is. Sometimes the hardest part isn't discovering you're different. It's realizing that being different might be the only thing that saves you. Camp Half-Blood is extraordinary archers with perfect aim, satyrs tending strawberry fields with magical pipes, and 12 cabins honoring different Olympian gods. Percy learns Greek gods are real, have followed Western civilization to America, and still have children with mortals. These demigods attract monsters and require training for survival. During Capture the Flag, Percy discovers his power when water contact strengthens him against multiple attackers. A glowing trident appears above him, Poseidon claiming him as son. As Chiron announces, "Hail Perseus Jackson, son of the sea god," Percy realizes his life has forever changed. Being a child of the Big Three, Zeus, Poseidon, Hades, marks him as especially powerful. His dyslexia exists because his brain is hardwired for ancient Greek, while his ADHD represents battlefield reflexes. Camp Half-Blood transforms his perceived weaknesses into strengths, a powerful message for anyone who's felt like an outsider. Percy barely has time to process his new identity before learning he's suspected of stealing Zeus's master lightning bolt, the most powerful weapon in existence. This accusation stems from Poseidon breaking a post-World War II pact among the Big Three gods to have no more half-blood children. With the summer solstice deadline approaching, Zeus threatens war that would devastate the mortal world. The oracle gives Percy a troubling prophecy. He'll go west to face a god who has turned, retrieve what was stolen, be betrayed by a friend, and fail to save what matters most. Despite these warnings, Percy accepts the quest to clear his name and prevent divine war. Grover joins despite his fear of underground places, and Annabeth volunteers, eager to prove herself despite the Athena-Poseidon rivalry. Their destination is the underworld in Los Angeles, where Hades has supposedly orchestrated the theft. The hardest part about being a hero isn't facing monsters, it's carrying responsibilities you never asked for while processing that your father is an immortal god who's been absent your entire life. Percy's westward journey becomes a crash course in mythological survival. 3 Furies hunt him on a bus, forcing an escape with Annabeth's invisibility cap before Zeus strikes with lightning. In New Jersey, they discover Auntie M is actually Medusa. Percy decapitates her using reflection to avoid her gaze. At the Gateway Arch, facing Echidna and the Chimera, Percy plunges into the Mississippi River, discovering his ability to breathe and heal underwater, gifts from his father. Air sends them to retrieve his shield from a water park, which proves to be a trap with mechanical spiders that trigger Annabeth's greatest fear. Later, they're lured into the Lotus Hotel and Casino, where hours stretch into 5 days, nearly causing them to miss their deadline. Each encounter reveals more about Percy's companions: Annabeth's strategic brilliance alongside childhood fears, and Grover's burden of past failure. In this world, every monster has a purpose, every god an agenda, and heroism means distinguishing between them before it's too late. In the vast underworld, Hades accuses Percy of stealing both Zeus's bolt and his own helm of darkness. When Percy checks his backpack, Zeus's bolt appears inside, revealing their manipulation. Hades shows Percy's mother preserved in golden light, offering to trade her for his helm. With only 3 magic pearls that return to the sea what belongs to the sea, Percy painfully leaves his mother behind, promising to return. At Santa Monica Bay, Ares reveals he intercepted the original thief and planted Zeus's bolt in Percy's backpack. During their conversation, Ares falls into a trance, suggesting control from someone in Tartarus. Percy defeats Ares by using his connection to the ocean. Returning to Camp Half-Blood as a hero, Percy discovers Luke was the lightning thief working for Kronos, Lord of the Titans. When Percy refuses to join Luke's cause, Luke summons a scorpion that stings Percy before vanishing. Sometimes the most dangerous enemy isn't the one brandishing a weapon, but the one manipulating from the shadows. With Zeus's bolt recovered, Percy faces his most intimidating challenge, delivering it to Mount Olympus, a floating mountain above the Empire State Building with marble mansions and golden streets. In the throne room, Zeus and Poseidon await. Zeus in a pinstriped suit emanating ozone, Poseidon in beach shorts with sea-green eyes identical to Percy's. Percy returns the bolt and explains Kronos' manipulation, causing the gods to exchange worried glances before Zeus departs. Alone with his father, Percy experiences an awkward moment. Poseidon expresses regret for Percy's birth, explaining he's given him a hero's fate, always tragic. Yet his final words affirm Percy as his true son, his eyes showing pride. This encounter reveals how gods, despite their power, are constrained by ancient laws preventing direct intervention in mortal affairs. As summer ends, Percy makes 2 significant choices: to return to his mother rather than stay year-round at camp, and to eventually hunt down Luke. These decisions reflect his growing maturity, balancing his mortal and divine worlds while accepting responsibility. At Half-Blood Hill, Percy silently promises his father he'll survive until next summer, accepting both the gift and curse of his heritage. Percy Jackson's story resonates with anyone who has felt different or out of place. His journey metaphorically represents adolescence, that time when we discover our identities through challenges. Percy's perceived weaknesses become strengths. ADHD transforms into battle reflexes, while dyslexia exists because his brain is wired for ancient Greek. Percy's relationships form his journey's emotional core. His loyalty to his mother, friendship with Annabeth, protection of Grover, and complex feelings toward his absent father. His irreverent narration balances humor with danger while igniting interest in Greek mythology among young readers. Percy's journey offers hope to outsiders. What makes us different might make us special, and finding where we belong often requires venturing into unexpected places. The true magic isn't divine power, but discovering that being different isn't a curse. It's what makes heroes possible.